Tight end Jermaine Gresham is reportedly making a free agent visit to the Green Bay Packers. To get the scoop on Gresham, we welcome Joe Goodberry of CincyJungle.com. It's all coming up on Railbird Central next. Welcome to Railbird Central at 24/7 Sports and Cheesehead TV. I'm your host, Brian Carvu. We're getting ready for training camp, and we got several exciting things to talk about this morning. To kick it off, we have our
expert interview.
We have Joe Goodberry of CincyJungle.com joining us to talk about the Jermaine Gresham visit to the Green Bay Packers. Mr. Goodberry, how you doing this morning?
Fantastic. Nice talking to you.
Very good to have you on the show. Now, as we understand, tight end Jermaine Gresham is visiting the Green Bay Packers, reported by Rand Getlin of the NFL Network. Jermaine Gresham underwent off-season surgery on a herniated disc. Now, Joe, as a close observer of the team, did you have any indication that he might be injured during the season?
Yeah, we actually saw it. I believe it was the New Orleans Saints game. This must have been around week 8, 9, or 10, midway to third quarter of the year. I think he had two touchdowns that game. But I think after each touchdown, he got up holding his back. And I remember him being on the injury report on and off. And it was nothing was clear. They never said his back, really. But you would see him get up and hold his back. And there would be times where he'd miss a couple series or he missed the rest of the game because his back was hurt. And I believe he missed the playoff game because of his back.
Interesting. Now, Gresham, I took a look at some of his statistics last season. He had 62 receptions, which was the second highest of his career. But the 7.4 yards per catch was a career low. Do you think this at all was like an indication of the injury? Or did you see a loss in speed at all?
You know, coming out, he was dubbed as an athletic receiving tight end. And, as a Bengals fan, we thought we were getting the next Antonio Gates at the time. Mm-hmm. And it was kind of a misevaluation from the beginning. He never really regained that athleticism from, the early Oklahoma days. And he's never really been a very natural receiver with hands and with hand catching and things like that. And he struggles, he fights the ball. For his low yards per catch, I think it also stems from mentally he's not a very good route runner. And they keep in extra blockers a lot, so they keep him in the block, and they don't ask him to do too much route-wise. I think as the years have gone on, they've limited his route running. They've limited the variety of which he's running and aligning him in different places. They've really scaled it back more and more and more. And I think it's to try and limit his mistakes out there. So I think seeing that yards per catch really drop the past few years is a product of that. It's a product of him being hurt, and it's a product of the Bengals offense led by Andy Dalton and the short, quick passing game.
Let's get into why he's a free agent to begin with. Did Gresham kind of fall out of favor in Cincinnati? Because he is still relatively young, or I don't know how much the injury played into it. I know they have another. Is it Tyler Eifert they have? Feel free to take it from here.
I would say he kind of fell out of favor. It probably started with the teammates around him as he became unreliable with penalties, with drops, with running the wrong routes, with false starts. Just mental mistakes is really his biggest issue. Mm-hmm. And I think it wore on the coaches also. And then he kind of, as the fan base became disenchanted with him, he kind of lashed out a few times. Not really bad, but, calling himself the villain of Cincinnati or of the Bengals fan base, or saying how the fans, want to see him fail, which is not true and never true. You know how it is when fans start, getting on a particular player because he's not playing up to expectations. That was Jermaine Gresham. So he kind of just, it was the right time. They drafted Eifert, and I think the writing was on the wall then. They would have loved to have started phasing Gresham out last year, but Eifert got hurt in the first game of the year, so they were kind of forced to use him. He was only their only real blocking tight end anyway. He was going to play regardless, but I don't think they wanted to keep him being a central part of the offense the way he did. And he was a free agent, and it was just time for them to let him go.
We're talking to Joe Goodberry of CincyJungle.com, part of the SB Nation Network here at Railbird Central on a Friday morning. Joe, this is a player who was a former first-round draft pick. You kind of alluded to his time at Oklahoma before. He was a two-time Pro Bowler with the Bengals. I mean, what kind of talent did you see in Gresham when he was at his best?
Where Gresham will really stand out for you if the Packers do sign him, and I think it would be a good signing for the Packers and a good situation for Jermaine Gresham, but where you'll see him stand out and where you'll really grow to really love him as a player is he is naturally strong. He's very tough, and he is hard to bring down after the catch. He's one of the best, if not the best, tight ends after the catch in the NFL. I've seen guys just corners and safeties that are coming up while he's catching balls in the flats. Part of the reason why his yards per catch is so low, but he catches these dump off passes and they're just bouncing off his thighs. Mm-hmm. 4-5 guys are jumping on him and he's fighting through it. And he's trying as hard as he can to carry these guys. And he did so many times. And it was really a spark plug for the offense to just dump a pass off to Gresham and let him just maul his way for 4 yards. But he also would fumble doing those things because, like I said, he doesn't have natural hands. He doesn't catch the ball very well. He fights it. He doesn't look sure of himself half the time. Being naturally strong makes him an adequate blocker, but at the same time, mentally, he doesn't always know where the running back is behind him, and he ends up getting holding calls because he doesn't know if the running back's going left or right. He can't locate linebackers in the second level, so you might as well just let him chip on a tight end or on a defensive end, help that way. So you kind of have to limit your offense with him if he's your focal point, if he's your tight end. But he's going to the Packers, obviously that's not the situation. And he'll just be a piece to the puzzle. And I think he would really shine in that situation. He needs a fresh start. He needs to mentally reset himself. And if that's with another team and a winning team like the Packers, I think that's great for him.
So you think he's kind of more of a complimentary player at this point in his career rather than like the number one starter?
For sure. You know, he's a guy that the more you watch him, the more you know his strengths and weaknesses. And I think that's true for most players, and it's true for opponents when they're playing him. They know exactly what he can and can't do. And as the Bengals knew what he could and couldn't do, they limited him in their offense, and defenses took away some of his strengths. So it became harder and harder for him to succeed. But I think if he goes to a more complementary role where you're putting him in situations to succeed more often and using him in game planning certain packages for him, I think then you'll see him shine more than fail.
You talked about this a little bit, but I mean, how would you classify Gresham as a blocker? Is he average? Is he adequate? Is he good? Where does he fall on the spectrum?
I would say he's adequate because he's an inline blocker, and there's not many around in the NFL. It's just hard to find these guys coming out of college and round picks, and you never know if they're going to develop or not. Gresham can come in and be your wide tight end. You can put him right on the line. He can help block a defensive end. He can block a linebacker, and he won't have too many issues with it. He gets penalties, and that's where people start freaking out. And, he's up and down mentally. So if he drops a pass, he's going to come back, and you don't know what you're getting out of him, whether it's blocking or receiving. So, you know, you got kind of have to ride that roller coaster. But like I said, it's hard to find those type of guys. The Bengals didn't replace them. They don't have a wide blocking tight end, really. They drafted Tyler Croft, but you're asking a rookie to play that position. So he has some value in the NFL. I think if he didn't have this back injury, he probably would have been picked up by now.
This is kind of an obvious question, but do you think Gresham would benefit from playing with a quarterback like Aaron Rodgers?
Definitely, 100%. He's obviously the best quarterback in the league, and he is far and above the best quarterback and maybe the most talented quarterback of our generation and beyond. So, yeah, I think anybody benefits from playing with him. So, yeah, for sure.
Final thoughts here on whether you think Gresham will find a landing spot somewhere, because he has reportedly met with the Raiders, the Saints, the Cardinals, and so far no takers. I mean, are we attributing this pretty much exclusively to the injury here?
I don't know if it's exclusively the injury. I didn't think he would get much interest anyway. I think he kind of overvalues himself. Just from gathering bits and pieces and how he talks, how he interviews, you think he maybe thinks he's a better player than what the perception is, or maybe what the reality is of where he is. So I think maybe he outpriced himself. Then he had the back injury, which maybe gave him an excuse. Oh, I'm not getting signed because of the back injury. I'll be fine. I'll get a deal once I'm healthy. Mm-hmm. So maybe he still has to bring his what he wants down a little bit. I don't know exactly, but yes, he'll probably end up with a home. He's young. Like I said, he's unique because he can still play the Y position. So he'll probably end up signing somewhere.
Cool, cool. Well, Joel, it's been great to get your insight. You did a fantastic job. Anytime I have a Bengals question, I'd love to talk to you again.
Of course, anytime.
Okay, sounds good. Take care, all right?
You too, Brian. Thank you.
Joel Goodberry of CincyJungle.com joining us here on a Friday morning at Railbird Central at 24/7 Sports and Cheesehead TV. Glad to have him joining us. Glad to have you, the listener, joining us as well. If you heard me preview on the last episode, we were supposed to have Fabian's Abelli, Packers rookie offensive tackle, join us on the show. He had to take a rain check. He actually, in between the time I booked him and the time I talked to him last night, He had a plane flight that was like boarding right as the show is starting right now. He wants to be on, and I'm going to hopefully, you know, book him sometime here in the future so we can talk to him. So it was unexpected and nothing really that, you know, we just had to work around. So we'll get him on at some point. And normally I wait for announcements like this until the end of the show, but I think some people maybe tune out sometimes, but by the end, I just wanted to ask for listeners a little bit of patience, if you will. We have sold our house. I am moving out of where I currently live, happen to live in Beaver Dam, Wisconsin. Moving out of the house this weekend, actually, moving into temporary housing with relatives for a few weeks, and then moving into a newly bought house in Madison, Wisconsin. It's going to be a hectic few weeks for myself, as you could probably understand. I could probably do a podcast on what it's like to live with your in-laws and selling and buying houses. I've got plenty of thoughts on those ideas as well, but I won't save those for a Packers podcast. But I don't know what's going to happen with the show. Well, especially while I live in temporary housing for a while, I want to do the podcast, and maybe what I'll do is I'll do pre-recorded shows, and we may not actually have the live edition of the show. I apologize to those who kind of tune in on a regular basis to the live edition to hear the latest, you know, thoughts as soon as possible. Just bear with me for a while. If it works out, I'll continue to do so. I am kind of concerned about the internet access and whether it can support live streaming and things like that. Anyway, that's enough for my announcement. Just bear with me for a few weeks. I'm going to try to get as much. I don't anticipate the blogging change any, really, which is good with training camp coming up. I can still write plenty. The podcasting is going to be a work in progress for a few weeks. So thanks a lot, folks. But, there's plenty to talk about here. And let me get to this because we're going to get to LaTroy Guyon, too. But first here.
Packers news of the day.
Piggybacking on our interview with Joe Goodberry, my take on Jermaine Gresham. I love it. Sign him if he's healthy. Obviously, he has to be healthy, and you have to imagine The Packers are going to put him through a physical. They're going to take x-rays and any sort of other tests they need to perform. They're going to do in order to make an informed decision. And, you know, obviously that this is kind of happening with the suspension to Andrew Corliss kind of hanging over the Packers' heads. So really they're kind of unsure about the depth at the position right now. And because the NFL isn't going to hand out any discipline until the legal process plays itself out, the situation is kind of even more unsettled. As we learned recently, Andrew Corliss has entered a plea of not guilty and has a court date August 10th in the middle of the preseason, or just before the start of the preseason, in the middle of training camp. And the way court cases tend to be pushed back, there's no knowing when he's going to receive any discipline. It's a no-brainer. The Packers rely on Richard Rodgers as their number one kind of starting tight end. No matter what happens here, whether Andrew Corliss is suspended, whether they sign Jermaine Gresham, Richard Rodgers is the man, and they can rely on him. But beyond him, currently, there's kind of a bunch of question marks. You've got second-year tight end Justin Perillo, who, you know, for being an undrafted rookie, he had an encouraging first year in the NFL, but by no means is he a proven quantity. You've got sixth-round draft choice Kennard Backman, and you got to be encouraged about him, you know, considering the Packers thought enough of him to be a sixth-round draft choice. Kind of, you know, I don't think there were many people out there at all who even had Kennard Backman as draftable quality, you know, thought he would be taken during the seven rounds of the NFL draft. Packers kind of made a little bit of a surprise pick there. They must see something in him, and you hope it kind of shows up during training camp. You got a few undrafted rookies, Mitchell Henry and Harold Spears, fighting for time, and you know, all these guys further down the depth chart, there's no guarantees among them. Hopefully they find a diamond of the rough, even two of them, but we just don't know. So that's why you've got to investigate Jermaine Gresham here. And who knows? I mean, if Jermaine Gresham is healthy and he looks good during training camp, you know, I wouldn't rule out the Packers actually releasing Andrew Corliss at some point. You know, if all of a sudden he's suspended for an amount of time, you know, four games or something like that, and it happens, I don't know when it'll happen, you know, whether it happens in the midst of training camp or if it can actually, they'll hand down discipline before the start of the regular season. Just things I can't predict right now. Nobody can really until, like I said, till the legal situation plays itself out first. So, but that, you know, like I said, I just wouldn't rule out the Packers releasing Andrew Corliss entirely. If that were the case, I think they could keep him. I think they will keep him, but I'm not ruling anything out at this point. So, okay. Other news, LaTroy Guyon has reportedly been suspended 3 games by the NFL, according to Rob Domofsky of ESPN.com. And I say this reportedly because the NFL itself doesn't make, you know, any official announcement on suspensions until after an appeal takes place. We learned of it because of a report, not because the NFL announced it and made it official. Now, when that appeal will happen, you know, that's still in the ether at this point. But I'll say this, considering the charges were dropped against Guyon from his offseason arrest back in February, I think it was, I wouldn't rule out either that his suspension is reduced. Now, that being said, I don't think it's going to be eliminated entirely, and you're probably still looking at a 1 or 2 game suspension for LaTroy Guyon. And with fellow defensive lineman Dayton Jones also suspended for the season opener, the Packers are facing a situation dealing with a lack of depth. And, you know, in week one of the regular season, the Packers face Matt Forte of the Chicago Bears on the road at Soldier Field. And this is a player that gained 171 yards from scrimmage in one of the meetings last season against the Chicago Bears. And now for a second, let's just assume LaTroy Guyon's suspension isn't reduced. It just stays status quo. Now the Packers face Marshawn Lynch of the Seattle Seahawks in week two and Jamal Charles of the Kansas City Chiefs in week three. This is three Pro Bowl caliber running backs 3 weeks in a row to start off the season. Forte, Marshawn Lynch, Jamal Charles. That's no small concern for a team that struggled to stop the run last year. That has me concerned a little bit. Now, the Packers will rely on Mike Daniels and B.J. Raji and Josh Boyd and any of the other defensive linemen that emerge for the time being. You may have also have heard Guyon has filed a motion in court to recover his seized possessions after his arrest earlier this offseason, and he has a civil suit pending against him, reportedly from an ex-girlfriend. Now I highly doubt that either of these will have an impact on Guyon's appeal. Even if they do play out in his favor, though, it doesn't hurt. It makes him look better if these court decisions play out in his favor. But, you know, anyway, the NFL has already handed down the discipline. It's only a matter of if they reduce it or not from appeal. I selfishly kind of want LaTroy Guyon's suspension to last only one game, and I'm sure the same thought has went through other people's minds, at least other Packers fans' minds, that the Packers can kind of, you know, handle the Bears in week one, even without a few defensive linemen, but that task kind of gets infinitely harder in week two against the Seattle Seahawks. We'll see. The Packers have their work cut out for them, and they'll be looking for players like B.J. Raji and Josh Boyd to step up, because these are guys that, not really trusted, I guess. You know, LaTroy Guyon being suspended, you've got B.J. Raji coming off the torn bicep last season. You've got Josh Boyd, who has not had a sack in the NFL yet. I asked on Twitter, what is your level of concern with the Packers, facing Forte, Marshawn Lynch, and Jamal Charles in three consecutive weeks without some these suspended defensive linemen. Here's a few of the responses that I got, and some interesting ones here. Samuel Shear on Twitter says, I'm at the worried level. I think this will hurt the run defense the first few weeks for sure. Mike on Twitter says, they had the same situation last year essentially. Who would you rather have, Guyon or Raji? They were fine last year. They'll be fine this year. Were the Packers fine last year? I understand that maybe Raji maybe didn't have the biggest impact, but were the Packers fine on run defense last season? This was the team that through the first half of the season, the first 8 games of the year, they were dead last in the NFL in run defense. They ended up, middle of the pack throughout the year after they kind of made the changes and Clay Matthews had switched to inside linebacker. Tom Mraz on Twitter says, that's in response to a different question on Twitter. Anyway, Josh Sharp of Twitter says, Dayton is a blow to the pass rush. Guyon was average as a nose tackle, but probably better than any defensive end on the team except Daniels. Derek Nelson on Twitter says, concern big time. Those teams could control the clock and slow the Packers down. Aaron Andrews says Dayton needs to be demoted anyhow. Raji will be an upgrade at the nose, but this line will be better. No worries here. It's only a small sampling of Packers fan, but they do seem to be split. You know, there's a faction that's worried about the suspended defensive lineman. There's a faction that thinks they can get by. So it's interesting that there's no consensus here, basically, that some people are worried, some are not. I'm slightly concerned. I'm slightly concerned, not majorly, you know, especially if you know, LaTroy Guyon gets his suspension reduced. I only feel better about the Packers' chances. But, it's not easy. People kind of assuming that that week one game against a poor Bears team from last year, think that poor Bears team is going to carry over, but it is on the road. It is the season opener when teams are juiced to the max to play a meaningful game against a team with a very good running back. And, you know, that's not all the Bears are good at. I mean, they got some very good wide receivers, and I think they're making strides on the defensive side of the ball. I think they're making strides on the offensive line. Jay Cutler kind of stands out as the big, you know, question mark there, or whatever you want to call Jay Cutler. But anyway, it becomes more interesting as time goes on here, and I become less and less sure of the Packers' chances. I still think they can win. I'd still pick them at this point, but it's not getting any easier for the Packers. Anyway, as we continue our discussion here, next segment.
The day ahead.
In the world of the Green Bay Packers, this Friday, 1919 Kitchen and Tap opens. It holds its grand opening on Friday. This is the new restaurant inside the Lambeau Field atrium. Just in time for the shareholders meeting and the start of training camp next week. And the timing of the grand opening was no mistake here. As, Lambeau Field is open 365 days a year and has become a year-round destination, but no doubt about it, once training camp opens, or, you know, just prior to it, when they have the annual shareholders meeting and get thousands of people attending that meeting inside the Lambeau Field Bowl, visitation and tourism ramps up. So to have the restaurant open ready in time, the Packers are no dummies, obviously. They're going to make a pretty penny off of this in the next few weeks as people are interested and visiting the stadium and just looking for places to eat and drink. And they're going to make a good amount of money. And this kind of goes back to the financial data that was released last week that, you know, gave a glimpse inside the Packers organization and the record revenue that they were producing. Now, also a lot, you know, more costs involved too as time goes on. But still, the Packers setting themselves up nicely for continued revenue streams. And there was a lot of criticism of the old Curly's Pub. Not that it was the worst thing in the world, but I think people expected more out of something, you know, out of a multi-million-dollar organization like the Green Bay Packers, that it could have been a better product. And I think that's what this 1919 Kitchen Tap is focused on. It's being branded as a gastro pub. They've got more than 40 different kinds of beer on tap with exposed copper beer lines. It's supposed to be really nice. The menu items they've kind of, you know, talked about on social media are very more upscale. And not that it's fine dining by any means. It's gastropub fare, but, you know, an upgrade over what they had at Curly's Pub. So anyway, grand opening Friday, ribbon cutting ceremony at 10:30 a.m. Central Time. Like I said, just in time for the start of training camp and shareholders meeting next week. So That'll do it for today's episode, folks. Thank you so much for joining us here on a Friday morning at Railbird Central. Thanks to Joe Goodberry for joining us on the show. Thanks to you, the listener, for joining us. And like I said, you kind of got to bear with me. I don't know when the next episode's going to be. It's definitely not going to be Monday. That is the date I close on our house. Definitely no episode on Monday. Hopefully we'll do something for next Wednesday. It may not be live. It may be recorded. We'll see. I'll try to keep you updated on Twitter and such if you follow me on social media. But anyway, folks, I'll be around. I'll definitely be writing. You'll see. Go to 24/7 Sports. Check out the blog post. You won't miss any training camp coverage for sure. So we'll see you later. Have a good weekend, everyone. Last weekend without any Packers football, so enjoy it. Take a break. Take a nice relaxing. Have a drink, and we'll see you around the bend. Anyway, I leave you with a song called Bali Munster by String Cheese Incident on Psy Fidelity Records. Go Pack, go.